Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Maker, the Lord who loved us first. And Lord, the words are not sufficient for us to describe the way you loved us, the way you have been so, so wonderful to all of us. Your mercies that we all received, your loving kindness that transformed our life. And Lord, we do not know how to describe. Our lips cannot, O Lord, find the knowledge, the words to describe how great thou art. Lord, we are here because of you called us. We are here because you brought us here. We all gathered here because of the Spirit of Truth that is working effectively. The living Word that is working deep inside of us effectively, quickening us, for us to be conformed, for us to be transformed, for us to be, O Lord, to grow in the stature, the measure that you have been calling all of us into thy marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, that you revealed thy light to all of us, thyself. Your truth is you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we are so humbled that we are all alive in Christ today. And Lord, we pray that you bless this beautiful day, because we have been finding your love, your comfort, your encouragement, your chastening, your mighty hand. We are experiencing your pruning, your molding, your edifying through the Word, by the Spirit, by the family of God. Lord, we are so, so glad, O Lord. And you have made us to feel what is the true happiness, the true joy, understanding that we have the Creator with us. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the Spirit of Truth that is guiding us. We have the Comforter who is helping us to endure and press on and to go through all of these trials and challenges to finish the race, because you are the author and the finisher of our salvation. And Lord, we pray that you bless us today to receive the words of life by the Spirit of life, to receive, O Lord, the wisdom of God by the will of God. May you soak us, O Lord. We all truly need thy soaking of thy anointing. Soak every one of us here, gathering here, O Lord, and all the brethren joining from different parts of the world. As, O Lord, you told the builder Nehemiah, when he blew the trumpet, O Lord, no matter how separated we are physically, wherever we are, but Lord, you will bring the bride together to be assembled as one beautiful bride, to prepare us for the marriage. Lord, we are here and we surrender ourselves at thy feet. May you do a beautiful work in the midst of us. In Jesus Christ's name I prayed. Amen and amen. Welcome and God bless you all. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for the beautiful worship. We thank the Lord for the testimonies. Truly the Lord is encouraging us through one another. I wanted to sing the song Until Then, and we thank the Lord, Brother Joshua sang the song. So, Until Then, amen. Until then, either until we all finish our race in this life, either we complete our physical journey and just close our eyes and rest in peace, or until then, the Prince of Peace, who tell us you don't have to rest in peace because the Prince of Peace is here to take us home. So only these two things can happen to the children of God. Amen. Either we go to him before he comes, or he comes and take us to him. But either way, we will reach the destination. We will reach the mansions that God had prepared for ourselves. we will reach the blessed rest, the promised land that He has prepared for us. Amen. So the assurance the Lord has given us, that is the reason we are all able to hold on to our truth that He has given us, the faith that He has given us, the joy that He has given us, the peace that He has given us. Everything that defines Him, who He is, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, the Lord has granted. So we truly thank the Lord for encouraging us. And we will continue today from where we entered last Sunday. We have been meditating on where do we stand in the sight of the Lord, especially the times that we live today. Everyone has the revelation of the scripture. Everyone has the knowledge and the truth, the doctrines of the scripture, irrespective of there are so many divisions among the world, because people use the name of the Lord to promote their empire, to promote their kingdom, to promote their ministry. The Lord has allowed all things because He is focusing on the redemption of the sheep, the salvation of the souls. So yes, He has allowed. He is in complete control. But in the midst of all of this, He is desperately looking for the true bride who can please Him, who can do everything according to His will and pleasure. Which means the true seeds of God who have received the burden to seek the revelation of the mind of God. Because knowledge is not sufficient to please the Holy Spirit. The true knowledge, the Bible says, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So, as people who live in this world, we always distinguish between knowledge, understanding, wisdom, revelation, and the will of the Lord. For us, it looks like a different spectrum of light, you know, in a single light. But by the grace of God, I pray the Lord bless all of us in this series to drink into the living water, which is the presence of God that can fulfill the hunger and thirst of His children. So, do I do the word of God according to the will of God? That is a question that we raised in the first part of the series. And we only focused on the gospel, John chapter 6, chapter 7, Matthew chapter 6, chapter 7, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 John 1, Revelation 1. We just took some inspiration from the New Testament before the resurrection, after the resurrection, how the will of the Father in heaven is presented. So Jesus says, I came to fulfill the will of my Father. I came from heaven. And because of that, He came to fulfill the will of the Father in heaven. And He said, I came to make sure I don't lose a single sheep from the mighty hand of my Father. He said, the purpose is salvation, Savior, because in this word of God, He is the Savior to us. Because we are lost. We were lost. Then, after the Lord completed His sacrifice, the one atonement on Calvary, He died for our sins, He died for our iniquities, He died for our shame, He died for what we did. We covered Him in that filthiness to the point whereby there was silence in heaven when He cried, my Father, why thou hast forsaken me? But Jesus said that is also part of the will of the Father in heaven, that I will die for your sins. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord clearly said, let thy will be done, not my will. So, the free will of the flesh dies in Garden of Gethsemane when it submits to the perfect divine will of God Almighty. When He said, not my will, the word of God speaks. When the Lord says, let there be light, and there was light. Because He said, and let it be as He said. Amen. We say that, amen. Which means, verily, verily, the Lord said, whatever the Lord said, it shall happen as it is. Because He speaks in agape. Now we have seen the transition of the will of Father in heaven when Jesus spoke, when he was performing the ministry, when he spoke, when he surrendered himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he spoke, when he died on the cross. Then after that, the Lord gave the Holy Ghost to the apostles. Now the apostles, they speak in a different level, which is the Lord is taking the seeds to higher ground. They speak the will of the Father in heaven by saying that which from the beginning that we had handled, heard, experienced, that word of God, the words of life, that we all may have fellowship with the Father in heaven through the Son of God. So the apostles come and make a beautiful meal for us to eat by saying the Lord has done all of this so that the spirit of the sonship, the spirit of Christ, can help the children of God to be united, to be reconciled, to be redeemed back to the Father for what? Not to enjoy in the mansions, not to simply roam around, boast in the heaven, but to fellowship with the Spirit of God. That is how 1 John chapter 1 explains the purpose of the revelation. If you look deeply, Gospel of John is capturing the life of Christ. Amen. But 1 John, 2 John, it captures what the Lord revealed to John as the vessel of God. So by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes the revelation he received. But book of Revelation was given to Apostle John, but it is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. So now, if you look, the revelation of the Word of God, of the truth, of your purpose the Lord has given to all of us, that is the revelation for us to catch the fire of the Holy Ghost, which is quickening. Imagine you light a candle. That is the personal experience of God is telling you, my son, my daughter, your days of being a sinner, being bound to the world is over. I am giving you the quickening spirit. From now on, you look unto me. So salvation help us to look into the marvelous light, because he told us, come, come, come closer, draw me closer, then we will enter into the light. But in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ revealed himself not just to Apostle John, but for the bride of Christ and for the children of God to understand what he is going to do. If you ask yourself, what is the purpose of God revealing to his children, this is what I'm going to do. Why he should tell this? The very first verse of book of Revelation starts by saying that the servants of God receive this to show the things that is to come. So let's start our today's sermon from Revelation chapter 1. Book of Revelation chapter 1. You would see a small difference from 1 John, 2 John. 1 John also talks about that which from the beginning. Gospel of John, the very first chapter, very first verse, we all know, the very famous verse, talks about what happened in the beginning, about the Word. The Word was with God. That is Gospel of John chapter 1. Then 1 John repeats the same, that which in the beginning. Now book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 says, book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. To whom? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. That is 2000 years for us today. But shortly come to pass, which means every day there is something the Lord is keep on fulfilling. Do you see? Because the word of God is keep on fulfilling the promises of God every single day. Today is the day the Lord has made, because he had a purpose for that beautiful day for his wonderful children. And that purpose is fulfilled today, will be fulfilled tomorrow. It is keep on going, because the word of God is life. His words and his spirit is life, which means it lives. It's a living word. Amen. Shortly come to pass. And it is still being fulfilled. And he says, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the Lord hath chosen a vessel through whom he can speak and reveal. But irrespective of all these verses written in the book of Revelation, no man can receive what the Lord has spoken in the book of Revelation without the Spirit of God. Which is as good as I go to a shop, buy a lock, but the key, I have to go and find it. I have to search. I have to seek. And that key is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because Jesus said, my testimony is not mine. My Father in heaven, he beareth my testimony. My doctrine is not mine. My Father in heaven, he gave it to me. He did not own anything. But after he promised the servants, the disciples, the apostles, the Holy Ghost will come. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. And he will glorify me. That he will receive everything that belongs to me. The Lord beautifully explained the seasons that God Almighty is doing in our life. Every season in the Old Testament, patriarchs, judges, kings, prophets, scribes, builders, disciples, apostles, season by season, the Lord is keep on saving his children, molding his children. So, in one single verse, Apostle John put himself on the receiving side, not on the giving side. Why? 1 John, 2 John talks about Apostle John is giving to us the revelation he received. Look at the verse that we read, 1 John chapter 1, which is also the revelation of the Spirit of God given to John. Verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, he did not single out himself. He is speaking for the apostles. Amen? Because the 12 apostolic foundations built upon one single foundation of Jesus Christ, the 12 pillars. So Apostle Paul, Apostle John, Apostle Peter, they would not speak anything different. They speak the same, which is, the Lord is the same yesterday, today and forever. So he says, we have heard, we have seen, we have looked upon, and our hands handled of the word of life. And verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father, through with his Son, Jesus Christ. The only way, the only truth, and the only life. Through whom we can reach out to the Creator, the Spirit, where we originally belong. Now, Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read until verse 4. So verse 2 says, who bear record of word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, that is the life of Christ, and of all things that he saw, which means whatever the Lord allowed Apostle John to witness, as a witness. Now verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, you and me, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, you and me, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Every single seed of God, every single child of God, the true ministry of the Lord, the bride of Christ, who deny herself, decketh herself to be clothed by the word of God, this promise has been spoken, which we can receive as we read. Why? The words of the Lord are full of life. It is not in past sentence. Amen. It is always in present established truth. So the blessings are spoken. Then verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. How wonderful it is. We are all in Asia. The book of Revelation talks about to the seven churches in Asia. And we know what that word Asia means according to what Apostle John was focusing on. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Up to here is fine. Suddenly the verse ends by saying, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Why? And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So we will use this verse 4 as the guide for us to go and seek the Lord. Lord, what is there for us to learn? Why there are seven spirits before your throne, not around the throne, not behind the throne, not above the throne, not below the throne, before the throne? The moment you read the verse, you should immediately remember John the Baptist baptizing people in the river of Jordan. Pharisees, Sadducees come and, you know, watching what's happening. John saw them and he says, "Oh, ye brood of vipers, who warned you to escape from all things to come and to come and stand before the Son of Man?" What is this stand before the Son of Man? Jesus Christ has also told exactly the same thing. He told them, "Ye generation of vipers, who warned you to escape from all things to come, that you will come and stand before the Son of Man?" He was pointing to himself. John the Baptist was pointing to what is about to come. Standing before the Son of Man, God Almighty speaks to Moses and tells him, "Call your brother Aaron and the sons of Aaron, ask them to change their garments and tell them to come and stand before me," as if he is commanding them, "Report to me for duty. Stand before me face to face." Amen. Like a father speaks to the children face to face, not behind the back. Now, seven spirits before the throne. We bless the Lord. On the seventh day, Joshua is about to overcome the victory against the city of Jericho. God commands him, "Seventh day, you come past the city seven times." He obeys. They are doing it. But the Bible says there were seven priests blowing the trumpet before the ark, not behind the ark. So in that setting, I want us to remember this as we are going to continue. When Joshua and the people of Israel destroyed the city of Jericho, Rahab the harlot was redeemed. Amen. She escaped because she gave her house to hide the two spies. Now, there were seven vessels before the ark and people of God behind the ark. And the people of God are called to follow the ark, which is behind, which is the type of the wife of Lot follows Lot. Wherever Lot goes, the wife goes. Why? That represents the type of Christ. The bride goes where the groom goes. Because the groom suddenly will change the direction. Right, left, up and down, to test whether the bride is keep on following her closely. So, wife of Christ follows the spirit of Christ. Amen? Why? He is coming for the bride who is pure in the spirit. Now, seven spirits before the throne, seven priests before the ark, and people behind the ark. Now, we will dwell deeper into this light. The Lord called his servants by the inspiration of spirit when John the Baptist said, "I am not the true light." Amen. Why? Because John Baptist knows people will misunderstand him that he is so powerful. Why? Because he was powerful. People may misunderstand him that he is righteous and holy compared to all other men walking on that time in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, wherever. Because Jesus himself said, "Out of all men who are born of a woman, there is no one greater than John the Baptist." And that John the Baptist, he humbled himself by saying that, "I'm not even worthy to touch his feet, to take the sandals off." And that John said, "I am not the true light." Because John knows there are many will come who masquerade themselves as the angel of light to deceive people by being the false prophets, false ministers, false preachers, false after false after false, but all in the times of doing righteous things, things of love, things of mercy, things of goodness. John said, "I am not the true light. I am just shining the one who is the true light." Now, let's remember this in our heart, in our mind. Now, let's continue. Book of Revelation, chapter 3. Let's glance through Revelation concerning this beautiful way of presenting the appearance of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Now, Revelation 1 says the seven spirits are before the throne of God. Now, Revelation 3 verse 1 says, if those who are having New King James Version, you will see it as he holds the seven spirits, right? Chapter 3 verse 1, it says that he that hath, he that holds, he that has, keeps in his possession, that he is holding it, he is in charge of it, he has, he holds the seven spirits of God. Chapter 4 verse 5. Chapter 4 verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Remember, lightnings, thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, from chapter 1, 2, 3, now chapter 4, seven spirits before the throne, chapter 1, seven spirits in the hand of the one who holds it. Now chapter 4 says the seven lamps are the seven spirits, but talks about lightnings that gives you light, quickening, extremely fast, thunderings that gives you loud noise, loud sound, but you can't understand anything. Voices, you can understand voices if it means something to you, if they speak words. Amen. Now let's continue chapter 5 verse 6. Next chapter, chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, also four creatures in different translation, and in the midst of the elders, how many elders? 24. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Now, it unfolds layer by layer. The Lord is taking Apostle John higher and higher, while the revelation is going deeper and deeper. Now, seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, forth into all earth. So, seven lamps, seven horns, seven eyes now, and previously it was as if reporting to duty before seven spirits before the throne. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Let's remember what we read in Revelation. Let's come back to after resurrection. See, I mentioned last Sunday that we are going to meditate this from five different segments of Bible, which is from Genesis, which was written by the inspiration of Spirit, by the vessel of God. From Genesis all the way to Book of Psalms, Proverbs or Job, that covers one particular era. Although Job is not in the timeline of David, he is way, way before, around the timeline of Abraham or even before that. Up to that is segment 1. Because after that, the kings fell one by one, the season of prophets began. Amen? Then after that, the prophets come and serve the Lord during the captivity, before the captivity, after the captivity. And then the Romans are ruling the people of Israel. Then Jesus comes as a very simple man, a son of a carpenter. That is how beautiful it is, because in the Garden of Eden, they were full of trees of life. The Father was in charge of the garden, that is the trees of life. And in the New Testament, the earthly father of Jesus was in charge of dead trees. Cut the dead trees, make them into some chairs or some table, and give them some purpose, some meaning in someone's house. The dead trees have found a meaningful purpose in the house of God. So Jesus Christ coming in as a son of carpenter was a type that he came to give life to all the dead trees, you and me, that he will make us into a vessel in the great house of God Almighty. Because he's very specific. There is no random coincidence in the mighty divine will of God. And that simple man could not be seen by mighty Pharisees, overly righteous Sadducees, and powerful kings. They killed him. So since during that season of gospel, after that, the season of Pentecost, apostles received the Holy Ghost, then they were unleashed by God across the earth. Then the book of Revelation, then finally we are those who are literally compassing around the wicked world today, the worldly principality of the system. We are on the seventh day. We do not know when the Lord will end this season, but we know one thing for sure, it is here. The end is near. Now, in this different season, what we read now from the Romans, which is the book that is written after the book of Acts, right? Romans 8 verse 9. Now let's read Romans 8 verse 9. So whenever we read Romans, we should immediately remember book of Acts was the very last chapter where Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples, I will give you the power to witness me across the earth. After that, he was ascended. Then that's it. Since then, it is a move of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is the one who is guiding us in the truth. Now read this, chapter 8, verse 9. What the vessel of God is speaking to us. Chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now when any man have not the Spirit of Christ, there is none of his. Hey. Jesus said, I will lose none. I came from heaven to fulfill the will of my Father in heaven. I will lose none. None will escape from my hand. And now the vessel of God speaks, it is true. But it is only applicable to those who have the Spirit of Christ. Because Jesus Christ has come for the bride of Christ who is filled with the Spirit of Christ. And now it says Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. What is Christ? Anointing. Amen? The word Spirit of Christ plainly doesn't mean it is from the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Sonship, Jesus Christ, because there are so many spirits, there are so many anointings. False anointings, evil anointings, demonic anointings, false spirits, evil spirits, demonic spirits. But the Lord is talking about the only anointing because there is only one spirit. Then, brother, what are the other spirits? Those are all full manifestation of carnality, wickedness of what was left behind, which is gifts and calling without repentance. They can also perform miracles like those false prophets in the times of Egypt. Now, the Lord says, if there is no Spirit of Christ in you, you are not of mine. Very harsh. Now, what is the Spirit of Christ? What is this Spirit of God? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, you are the temple of God. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. His. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ says, not my will, let thy will be done. Now we bring it to our life. God says, if there is no Spirit of Christ, you are not mine. This is where people think Old Testament is sufficient to go to heaven, and the Lord says, nay. Why? There is only one Savior. There is only one mediator between God and men. And this is the verse. The Spirit of Christ is a mediator between God and men. The word was God. Now, let's continue. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. We are expounding from book of Revelation, what is there for the bride to eat and drink? First Peter chapter 1 verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Glory that should follow. The bride of Christ will receive the crown of glory. Amen. The glory of the Lord will be given to the children of God. Amen. Behind the ark, there are people of God. Amen. So the people of God following the ark of the covenant. But Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5 says, the glory of the Lord is always in the midst of His children. And the glory that follow behind. The fire that burneth goeth before. And the flame that giveth light, you know, following behind. Now, Romans 8, 9, 1 Peter 1, 11. It presents a beautiful attribute. The purpose of the Spirit of Christ. Why this is not focused many times? Because the Word of God has taken a bigger role in the name of knowledge, teachings, doctrines, copyrights, patents, differentiating how different I am than him, differentiating how different this ministry, that ministry, and the Father is watching everyone and he is being silent. Isn't it? The one who had made us did not divide us, but people divided themselves for personal dishonest gains. Why? If you want to make money, you better be different than someone. Because that is a corporate strategy of the world. A ruling party cannot be same as the opponent party. Because both are same. People will be confused. Why there are two parties? Just be together. No. We are different than them. They are different than us. Doctrines divided denominations. Denominations divided the truth. When the truth is divided, God is not there. Why? He is one. But he is allowing all of this. Doesn't mean that they are evil. Doesn't mean that they are all evil people. No, they are going through a journey of ignorance. Some of them, not all of them. There are some who know exactly what they are doing. And the Lord calls them false prophets, false apostles, false ministers, false ministries. Because why? They know what they are doing. But still they do because of the worldly desires. But the flock that is behind them, following them, innocent. Ignorant, many of them, they are struggling in captivity. But don't worry, he will come. He will come and bring the highest cedar of Lebanon to the ground and redeem his children. The truth is, the Lord is working everywhere. Everywhere, why? Daniel was in the captivity of Babylon. The Lord was with him, in him, watching over him in that lion's den. In the captivity of an evil land. Doesn't matter, why? The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, no one can escape from Him. He watches over His children. But what is different? Those who are assertive will be falling into the pit. Those who are submissive and humble will climb the mountain, the holy mountain of God. Now remember this in your heart. Why? We would see how it is going to travel from here. Spirit of Christ. This is the title for today's sermon. Because last Sunday, the title was True Divine Fellowship. Without Christ, can you and me fellowship with God, the Father in heaven? God speaks to Moses, if anyone touch the mountain, I'll burn them to death. What kind of father you are? He was not punishing, he was telling the truth. Reality. The two sons of Aaron offered the strange fire. They were burned to death. He was not joking. He told this before, even before they built the tabernacle, he told Moses, don't tell them to touch the mountain. And two sons of Aaron, they came and offered a strange fire, familiarity, overconfidence, assertiveness. He burned them without even telling Aaron. Why? He don't have to. God is a consuming fire. But here they are reading about God is light, God is love, all the beautiful words, amen to that. But that doesn't change who he really is. Now, the Spirit of Christ. How crucial
how it changed our lives. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of anointing, but there is only one Spirit. Imagine there is a huge cloud which is full of waters, you know, in the cloud. That is God who is Spirit. You are standing below the cloud. But can you touch the cloud? No. Can you throw the stones to get the water? No. The cloud should decide, okay, soak in my rain, teaching rain, former rain, whatever, according to the time season, the cloud pour out the Spirit, and the children of God soak in the rain, the Spirit of Christ. The only one who can anoint the bride. The only one who can anoint the children of God. That is why when Jesus was anointed, John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to touch you. Not even, you know, to take your sandal off. Jesus said, fulfill what is supposed to be fulfilled. That humbleness is gone from the ministers of God. Who? The one who had power, dominion over all things. He humbled himself to wash our feet. He humbled himself to be baptized. You. The one who baptized with fire and with spirit, he was baptized by the hand of John the Baptist, whom he made. Now, Spirit of Christ, may the Lord help us to eat the bread of life and drink into His Spirit and understand where is the will of God in the Spirit of Christ. Because Spirit of God, will of God, Spirit of Christ. Amen. Now let's continue. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Please keep the images ready. God bless you. Genesis chapter 9. Let's go back all the way to the drunken man, Noah. It's a type that he was drunk by the Spirit. Chapter 9. How steadfast this man was to keep building the ark, no matter what's going on around him. How many people teased him? How many people mocked him? You know, the toughest and dirtiest and ugliest processes is to build the ship. It takes time. Time. But once it is built, the sailing is super smooth, isn't it? But building the ship needs steadfastness, perseverance, patience, long sufferings, wait upon the Lord and focusing on the will of God. People may have thought this stupid man Noah building ark nowhere, somewhere far away from seashore, who will push? And God said, I will push the entire ocean to come to the land. He sent the rain and there was no difference between lake or ocean or river. The Lord said the whole earth will be covered by the flood. It's a type and shadow. The four beasts who bow down to the presence of the Lord and say, holy, holy, holy. Which means there is no unholy. There is no unholy. There is no unholy. Is the Lord Almighty. All earth is filled with His glory. When the glory of God covers our life, the old man will be dead lying on the ground. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. Now, to that incident, Genesis chapter 9, look at the promise. Verse 12. Genesis 9, verse 12 to 13. And God said, this is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Which means, even all those creatures along with Noah, they received the covenant for them to continue until today, so that they remember, oh, in the blessed land, lion and wolf and lamb shall dwell together. Hey, how these beasts look like? Don't worry. Noah has got the covenant that you and me will see today. And the Lord says, not just you, Noah, in you, through you, I bless all the generations. Why? Behind Noah, there is Abraham. Not at that point of time. He's coming later. Because the God Almighty, He sees through the seas. He knows. He blessed Noah and that blessing will go to Abraham. But the blessing was not actually given to Noah. It was to Adam. That is Adam. God told Adam, everything that I created, subject to you. Rule it. Enjoy it, man, but be fruitful. Spiritually. And God speaks the same thing to Noah. Let's do a reset. Let's see if it works. Not to say, let's see if it works. God knows it won't work. But He has to reset it so that He can give them some more time. If the Lord did not destroy them in the flood, they would have been destroyed completely. So the Lord kept 8 people, which represent a new beginning, and he began a new journey. Now when that beautiful event happened, the Lord says something very beautiful, verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. I'm sure all of us have seen rainbow. We get excited, curious sometimes. Sometimes become more emotional. God is speaking to me now, making covenant. But those emotions set apart. But let's understand, the Lord says, I do. He did not say, I will do it only once, Noah. I did it. You will never see rainbow ever in your life, or some bow in your life. Now the Lord says, I do. The word do is present tense, right? The covenant of God is still active in you, in me. Today, as we speak, what he said to Adam, what he said to Noah, what he said to Abraham, what he said to David, Solomon, every single prophet, it is in you, in me, covenant. He has a name, the Ark of the Covenant. He has a name, the image of God. He has a name, the Spirit, the glory, the complete visible presence of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Word of God, the Ark of the Covenant. He has so many names. But the problem is, most of the time, we pick him in a name that we like in that moment. If I'm sick, I just want to look up to him as a healer. But the Lord would look at us and say, can you look at me as a righteous God now? I'm not going to heal you, but I will just let you suffer for maybe 6 more months. Can you do that? But you say, no, my Lord is a great physician. I will only invite him in this garment. In this garment, no, it is uncomfortable to me. Then the comforter will say, okay, if it is comfortable, then I can stay outside. But here, God tells Noah, I do set a vow, not to remind Noah. You see how he speaks. He says, a token of a covenant between me and the earth, not just Noah and the earth, because all earth is filled with his glory. Amen. The glory of the Lord is nowhere different from here to any other country, any other land. It is nowhere different from any other country, any other land to here. Because why? God is everywhere. The Spirit of God searcheth, filleth all things that are his. Verse 14 it says, it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. The moment I read this verse today, early morning, 4 a.m., I remember Stephen saw that bow. Because Stephen was stoned to death, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Jesus Christ standing on the cloud. As if cloud is his footstool, standing on the cloud. Now, here it says, the Lord says, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Verse 15, and I will remember my covenant. He did not say, I'm just setting a reminder for you, Noah. The Lord says, I have to remember. Because your sins and iniquities are making me to turn my face away. If I turn my face, I won't see what I'm doing, what's going on with you. The Lord says, I have to set reminders that I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I am God who is love, who is light, and I want my children not to perish. The Lord set reminders for himself. And the power of intercession is beautifully explained in the New Testament. And all the apostles said, pray without ceasing. That is, keeping the flame continually to burn in the tabernacle of God. Now, verse 15 covers saying that, I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh physically. But spiritually, when we are baptized, when we go into the water, the flesh that doesn't belong to Christ, our old man, our sinful nature, our serpentine nature, we leave it behind and we come out. But yet, it will come and influence you. Why? The battle is not over. It's a type. It's a type. The battle is not over. Now, verse 16, please. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. Now it says everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Go ye and preach gospel unto all the creature, to every corner of the earth. Because every corner of the earth shall be filled in his glory. Now this is what the Lord said, Genesis. Now let's see how it translates in the prophetical realm. Book of Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. What we read in Genesis, we should see in Isaiah. Because those who loved and studied the book of Isaiah, you know, book of Isaiah itself, it's a small Bible. Why? It covers the end to end in just one single book. It's like a preface, like an introduction of the whole Bible. It has everything. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8. Verse 8. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Oh, this is what the Lord told Noah. That these things will happen. Your children will make me to go angry and crazy. I may be tempted to burn them, but I won't burn them. But I will destroy some of them, yeah? Why? He will have to protect the remnant. And the Lord says, I need some reminder for me to be gracious and merciful. Why? Until Calvary is over, the Lord said, I looked down for a man to stand in the gap for me and my children. I found none. That is who we are. None is righteous. Only him is righteous. For the reason God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Now, the Lord says, I want to save my children. Verse 8, 9. For this, as the waters of Noah, he even gave a name to the flood. Waters of Noah. If Noah is alive, God, what are you doing? Why are you spoiling my reputation? That flood and me has nothing to do. But the Lord says, I sent it to preserve you. Oh Lord, not fair. I don't want to be the reason for my in-laws, for my relatives, for my third, fourth generation to be destroyed in the flood because you want to save me. No, that's not the point. Sometimes when we lose one of our loved ones, we think, God, why? What are you doing in my life? What wrong, what evil I did to go through such a painful journey? You know, the truth is, no man can comfort when people go through such a moment. I have seen people who lost newborn, 8 months, 9 months pregnancy. They had to cut the womb and take the dead child out. I was there. How will you comfort? You will feel useless, I'm telling you. No matter how wise you are, no matter how good you are, no matter how spiritual you are, when the Lord places you in a situation, your words, your wisdom means nothing. You can't even say anything. Your lips will be shut. Then you will realize there is only one comforter. Who can comfort the soul beyond our understanding? That is the peace of God. And the Lord speaks the same thing to Prophet Samuel. The same manner. Now he says, waters of Noah unto me. Verse 9. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should be no more, go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that have mercy on thee. The Spirit of Christ that is in you. The only covenant the Lord was counting on, which will work, where every man, every servant, every vessel, every king will fail miserably. But there was one who came, who has never lost a battle. He himself. That covenant. And the Lord says, I just symbolize with a bow. Okay? A bow. So if it is spoken in Genesis, it must be echoed in Revelation, right? Why? The Bible is like two voices echoing between one old mountain to one new mountain. It keep on echoing, resonating like a vibration frequency. Book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4, verse 3. Let's read how this echoes. From Genesis, we jump to Isaiah. Now we jump to Revelation. Chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3, Revelation. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. What? He keep something like a bow of light around the throne. Seven spirits before the throne. Like a bow around the throne. Verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. So the seats were reserved. 24 chairs reserved. Not to be empty, but for the 24 elders to sit. For them to rest. And 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold, royalty. Verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That is where we started. I'm just drawing circle after circle after circle from now. It will start one place, it will come back to the same place. We will see. Now Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. Verse 1. Revelation 10 verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Hey, cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Genesis chapter 9, Isaiah 54, Revelation 4 and 10. No, not sufficient. Let's go to book of Zechariah. Let's go and learn from the vessel of God, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 9. Chapter 3 verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, not behind, not on his head, not around, before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Chapter 4, verse 2. Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 2. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. Zechariah 4 verse 10. Same chapter, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Who is Zerubbabel? A type who laid the foundation of the temple of Jerusalem, who has signet of the king, the royalty. And Zerubbabel with those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Amen. Book of Revelation says, they are the seven eyes, the seven spirits of God, which are sent forth to all the earth. And the four beasts says, holy, holy, holy is Lord Almighty, all earth is filled with His glory. So those spirits had a purpose to fill the glory of the Lord in all the places, in all the corners for Him to come. Now, by God's grace, we have just gone through one circle of starting from Noah, rainbow, covenant to Jesus Christ, who has the rainbow on the around the throne on his head as well, not just a throne, and the seven spirits before him, everything so beautifully confirmed, Isaiah, Zechariah, everything. Praise the Lord. Now, as the child of God, a bride of Christ, the Lord said, I have called thee unto my marvelous light. Amen. But the Bible says, he who dwelleth in an unapproachable light. What is unapproachable? Just because you want to see him, you can't find him. Just because you want to understand the scripture, you can't understand his scripture. Just because you want to serve the Lord, you can't serve the Lord. Just because you want to do some divine mighty things for the Lord, you cannot do divine mighty things for the Lord. The Lord has to accept it. He has to confirm it. He has to allow it, ordain it. The mind of the Lord that reveals it. Is it so easy? Have you seen today's motivational speakers everywhere, especially in the social media platforms? They say, this will happen next year. Sometimes it will come to pass. But do you think God is glorified? No. Why? They are glorified. You know, I have been observing by God's grace, not just recently, for many years since I have seen how men, ministries have taken the preeminence that belongs to God, that belongs to Him alone, in the name of me. It's been going on for years and years. There are very few who lived and died simply, who lived and died without leaving a legacy. Very few. Very, 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 very few who did not leave a legacy. Why? They know there is only one Spirit of Christ. Amen. The everlasting legacy, the never-ending legacy of God Almighty. But many people want to leave a shadow. Make money by selling doctrines. Don't you see? Million books can be sold, became a millionaire in one single day, saying that this will help me to serve God mightily. Oh yes, you will fall from the highest cliff which you climb by yourself. And the Lord is watching. In the midst of all of this, his true seeds are struggling, groaning, mourning for his coming. He knows of broken hearts, contrite spirit, and he's close to them. But they might be in captivity of king of Egypt. They might be in captivity of king of Manasseh. But the Lord will redeem his Rahab, no matter whatever her past was, but he will redeem her. Now, what we will read from now is, if there are seven beautiful colors that can come from a rainbow, but they are not on their own, you see, it can't create itself. In faith, you cannot see rainbow. Why? There is no particle to scatter the light. It has to come to earth, enter into the atmosphere, make sure all the settings are perfect, cloud, the humidity, temperature, everything is super perfect for that glimpse of light scatters and you see, wow, was so beautiful. But you know, in that beautiful rainbow, you will see God has set his order. The sequence of that color would not change because you like it. It remains the same. Why? It is not just a phenomenon. It is a reminder to tell all of us, you are weak. We are nothing compared to his greatness. And that is a reminder that God was about to destroy all, but he didn't. That is the message when you see the covenant. And the Lord said, it's a simple type between heaven and earth. And Jesus said, I came from heaven to do the will of my Father in heaven. And that bow was around his head, the mind of Christ. And that bow was around the throne where he is seated, the throne of God, who is seated in the right hand of God, which shows the power and authority, dominion. And those seven spirits before him, Now let's ask ourselves, the Spirit of Christ, is it in you? Can we say, shall we say amen? Or let's think, I'm baptized, Bible says, no one can say Jesus is the Lord without the Holy Ghost. So let me say, Jesus is the Lord, so I have the Holy Ghost. But his name is not Jesus. Oh, tell me what's his name. I will tell that he is the Lord, I'll have the Holy Ghost. Remember the sorcerer who said, tell me what it takes to receive the anointing. And apostle said, thy money perish with thee. That's not the answer he was looking for. Now, may the Lord guide us. If God came to the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening to have fellowship with Adam, that spirit of love, spirit of fellowship, the spirit of father loves the child, was exactly what the serpent wanted to remove it. How he did it? He came in between slowly and he told Eve, God said, this is this. Oh, yeah. Why can't we try this? Oh, you're telling this? Oh, is it? What happened to Adam? How foolish the bride of Christ to do something without inquiring the groom. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, what we read, let's read it again. How the angel of the light could also be the Satan himself. Let's read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 to 15. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that therein they glory, that they may be found even as thee. Okay? Powerful. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No flesh can discern. Why? Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Transformed. Past tense, not future tense. The Lord says, as it was written on that day, he was already transformed into an angel of light. He would look beautiful. He won't look ugly. He would look so smooth and so loved and so kind. That is how deceive people. One beautiful glass of milk, one single drop of poison from maybe king cobra. Good, right? Quick death. Now there was the next verse. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Why? They follow their master. They fulfill the instructions of their master. Whose end shall be according to their works? It is none of your business. Correct? Now, light, angel of light. John the Baptist says, true light, I am not the true light. God says, my glory is in my Son, the shining light. Now, we can start from here. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 28. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 28. Have you seen there are thousands of Ezekiels in the world today? Everyone calls themselves watchmen. Watching what? I'm a watchman. I watch the whole world. The Lord told me to watch. So many watchmen. Book of Ezekiel. Many people want to behave like Ezekiel. Watchman is a calling from God Almighty to be the eye of Him. So easy. What a sharing on Friday. God bless you, Brother Rolly. Eye of God seeth everything. In order for someone to be the eye of God, he must be completely anointed, filled with the Spirit of God, for God to see through him. But everybody says, I'm watching. Watching everything. Be careful. The Lord is listening to every single word we speak, using his name. He will come and ask us, why did you say that when I never said that? Book of Ezekiel is a powerful book. 38, 39. The whole world is waiting for it to be fulfilled. But is it your desire to see the fulfillment of 30:39? No, my desire is to see Christ. I want to see Him. I want to see how beautiful He is. But for that, I must deny myself, decorate myself, clothe myself in the Word of God, and make sure the fruit of the Holy Ghost is coming from me. That is your desire. Everything else you have no control. But the Lord said, watch and warn yourself. Watch and warn yourself. Prepare yourself. Now read chapter 1, verse 28. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of the rain. Oh. So it is very easy for the rainbow to appear when there is a rain. Why? Light can scatter through the water. Okay. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, the one and only true light. And Satan said, I am also an angel of light. Trust me. Follow me. Let's read Bible together. Let's pray together. Whatever it takes to push you to the pit. And it says, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face and I heard a voice of one that spake. Fell upon my face. My precious dear family of God, when you are exposed to the holiness of God, to the Spirit of God, to the presence of God, you will be filled with reverence and honor. You know to whom you are standing before. You will bow down and you will show your honor to Him. Revelation chapter 1. Let's see what happened to Apostle John. Ezekiel and John, they did not witness two different people. It says, verse 5. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, up to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Amen. In His own blood, and that made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now this is what Apostle John describes, how beautiful his appearance was, and he also described the purpose of why he's doing all of this. Now read verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I fell at his feet as dead when they see the glorified King of Kings. But today, Jesus became a buddy, friend. People say, I put my hand on his shoulder, I drag him to wherever you go. He was speaking to me, I was joking to him. I do this, I do that, I call him to my dinner. Apostle John fell as dead when he saw him. Ezekiel, the watchman of the Old Testament, fell as dead when he was exposed to the glory of God. Which glory the people are talking about? When the walls of Jerusalem is being built, there are two groups for the work. One, those who built the wall. And two, the enemies who are waiting to penetrate the wall. Two witnesses, but one glorified, one profaned. Just because we witness God's work doesn't mean we will enter into God's presence. We must do God's will. And where is the God's will? Who will make you to do God's will? Let's focus on the Spirit of Christ as we continue. Now, you see, John says, I fell as dead because he was like that. His presence was like that. But now the beauty is, and he said, he laid his right hand and upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He said, fear not. Amen. When the watchman met God, the glory of God in the plain, Ezekiel, the Bible says, he could not stand. No, he was on his feet. And the Spirit of the Lord entered into me and set me upon my feet. In order for John to stand, in order for Ezekiel to stand, the Spirit of God had to revive them. Keep it in our mind. Now, let's continue. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Please keep the image from 7 images from 1 to 7 in the same sequence. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Now, let's read the will of the Father in heaven in a way this beautiful letter describes. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord said, let thy will be done, let me die for my bride. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, not the past evil world. The present evil world adapts, equips itself to match the way children of God grows. The warfare between the battle of righteousness and the battle of unrighteousness, the battle of blessedness and the battle of wickedness, the battle of true light and the battle of angel of the light. Every side is equipping themselves, adapting. Strategy of war. And the Lord says, be established in the present truth, that you will overcome the present evil at that point of time. But your calling is not to overcome the evil. Your calling is to fellowship with him. That is where people fail. Why? People want to showcase, show off. Why? Altar can be a stage. People can come for limelight. Oh, when I come, people all look at me. Feel like a leader, you know. Oh, when I testify, everybody claps. Hey, I never got this attention in the workplace, you know. People want to live their alter ego on the altar, but two different altars. A-L-T-E-R is not the same as A-L-T-A-R. This is pillar of fire. That one, vapor of life, our life. James 4. Now God says, through the apostles, through the prophets, through the kings, the glory of the Lord was not easy for the man to keep. The Lord leaves the temple when something is not of his. Amen? It's a type of he can leave your heart now, as I speak. Now, he can leave. Why? Every temple is an individual temple. Now, Galatians says, verse 4, according to the will of God and our Father. Oh, that is what Jesus said. I will not lose, not a single sheep, because my Father in heaven sent me for that. Hey, great mighty warrior, Jesus Christ, looks like David. Then he died. Not son of David. No way. Our David, he chased a lion. There was a sheep, was stuck in the mouth of a lion. He put his hand, removed the lion. Superhero, right? Then he saved the sheep from the lion. That is King David. This David, sacrificial lamb slain. Failure. If you are not in the spirit of Christ, the ministry of God will be seen to you as a failure after failure. You know why? Stephen failed. Moses failed. Apostle Paul failed. Jesus failed. John failed. Every single one failed. Remember this. Let me give you a simple example. Moses was met by God in the burning bush. Amen? God said, my son, come and follow me. There was a bargain between them and the Lord brought Aaron to like a mediator. The ministry is going on. The Lord told Moses, I will lead thee by pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. And Moses said, your presence should go before me. If not, I'm not coming. Amen? He said that right. Then why on earth he was pitching his tent in Massah, Meribah, in all the wrong locations? So Moses was not led by God, right? Because he's very foolish to pitch the tent in Massah and Meribah. So God was not with Moses, isn't it? Sometimes what is right to our mind, our flesh, will be absolutely wrong, upside down to our spirit, to God. When there is the leading of the spirit, it is beyond the reasoning of your mind. Every single time, every single decision, Every single stop that Moses had to pitch the tent was a lot to test his children and burn them one by one for him to redeem the second generation later. Isn't it? Didn't he do it? He tested them. They didn't see it was a trap for them to fall, and they fell. Now, if they were all led by the Spirit of God, they would understand God is with us. God is in us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, there was only one at that point of time who had received the promise of God that I will lead thee. That is why it's called waters of Noah, law of Moses. Do you see why? God said, I will identify myself with the one who lived up to my name. But the world we live in today, people want to live up to their reputation. Hey, do whatever you want, okay? The reputation of our group should never go down. What reputation? The Lord told Prophet Isaiah, be naked for 3 years. Isaiah says, hey, my prophetical ministry, my stock market will fall down. How can I be naked for 3 years? Isaiah said, I will do so, my Lord. Obedience. Now, where we will get such obedience? In love, in truth, with a cheerful, willing heart. Spirit of Christ that bless you to have fellowship with God Almighty, the true and divine. Now, what we read here in Galatians, verse 5 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's why it's called glorified Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read all of these Spirit-filled verses written by apostles after Jesus died. That is why I'm reading from there. Why? They understand the will of God much better than those who are in the wilderness. Why? They did not realize that their Redeemer is going to come and die for them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Pleasing, fruitful, good work, knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. That is verse 10. Amen. Now, everyone believes that we have the knowledge of God because we have the word of God. Correct? It is not true. Go to the previous verse. Let's read from verse 8. It talks about one vessel, Epaphras. Verse 8 says, who also declared unto us your love in the spirit, not in the flesh, not in the knowledge. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. You might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It is the true knowledge of Christ. But many places have been filled with knowledge of the word, knowledge of doctrines. But here Colossians 1 verse 9 says, be filled with the knowledge of His will, which means the Lord must reveal His will to you, His mind to you, not concerning someone, not concerning something that was done in the past, concerning you and your life, what the Lord wants from you, what the Lord is expecting from you, according to what He has given you, the great provider. Amen. It says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Praise the Lord. Now, before we go through the verses, I want to go through the images. Let's all look into this. I thank the Lord that I was able to find this. We have read seven spirits before the throne, a beautiful light that scatters around the sky or cloud or that particle that actually divides the light into different spectrum. You know, we call it a spectrum, which means it's one single set, but there is layer by layer spectrum. So look at this image. You have the grass, beautiful, sunlight, beautiful, but you can't touch it, you will be dead. And there is sky, like a painting, and around the sky there is a bough with multicolor phenomenon of the same light. But the light is not colorful. It is transparent, like water, no taste, like air, no odor, plain, like unleavened bread. But in order to make his children happy, the Lord makes some beautiful magic, like a signature, and he makes a beautiful rainbow. And we all know the sequence of the colors in the rainbow. It is not from R-A-I-N-B-O-W. It is Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, and green, blue, indigo, violet. It's a different sequence. But we wanted to find a good acronym, we put some name. But it's a different sequence. It doesn't change. Now, this beautiful picture, I want us to remember us as those grass. Hey, we are all sons and daughters of God, saints of God, kings of God. Don't you compare us with book of Isaiah chapter 40, because he compared us already, not me. Let's keep this chapter 40, Isaiah. Let's read as we go along. Please keep the image in the same frame. Chapter 40, verse 3. Chapter 40, verse 3, Brother Clement, read this for us. From verse 3 to... You can read from verse 1 to verse 8, brother. Chapter 40, verse 1 to 8. God bless you.
Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 8. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says to your Lord, your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out! And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Stands forever. The people is grass. Grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. But we are the parts of that word. Amen. Now let me reflect this from James before we continue. Keep it. James chapter 4. Let's confirm from the after resurrection segment what he says. Chapter 4 verse 13. James 4 verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this, or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Not even ignorance. The Lord says it is evil. Verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Not even ignorance. Sin, because the moment you know how to do good, you have already received the knowledge of the word of God. But because he couldn't do it, you could not be revealed to the will of God. What is in between? Life and death. Now continue the next image. Keep it in book of Isaiah 40. We'll come back again. Now, let's look at this next image. Here, instead of grass, we have trees. Tall trees with branches, much stronger than grass. It can live for a longer time compared to grass. There are trees that can outlive humans for two or three generations. We praise the Lord. Trees of life, trees of righteousness. There are so many comparisons of God to his children concerning trees. And we know that Adam and Eve, they were hiding behind some trees to cover their nakedness. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, tree of life. We know those so many words about trees. But I want us to see here, the rainbow is not touching the tree. It's actually behind the tree, but it's just showing some sort of a message that the Lord showed mercy in your life. He rewrote your life by revealing himself to thee. But the carpenter who came to quicken the dead trees, you and me, because the Bible says, Book of Romans says, you are all walking dead. And the Lord said, no more. Walk alive in me. He revealed the true life to us. So the first image between grass with a backdrop of the beautiful color scattering. Now trees. Go to the third one. Now ocean. The scripture always compares the Lord's love to the droplets of ocean. Why? You can't measure. What a beautiful song, the love of God. I'm sure I sing it so many times whenever I feel so burdened. The love of God is so rich and pure. Amen? The depths of the ocean, he actually pulls us down and comforts us, then releases. Then you go and swim again. A comforter. And I have seen rainbows. I'm sure many of you have seen rainbow in the ocean setting. So beautiful because both of them have no horizon that I can see. The horizon of ocean you can't see. The horizon of rainbow you can't see. It starts somewhere, ends somewhere. Now mountains. This is like a snow mountain where the rainbow also, you know, was taken, captured from grass, trees, ocean, mountain. But in all of this, there is one similarity, which is the cloud and the sky that is in the you know, in the background scene, correct? Now let's see, next one. There is no sky, there is no cloud, but it's a falls, but because the falls is scattered in the water, the sunlight scatters, you know, in the water, and you can see rainbow. Just, you know, you can look down, not just look up, isn't it? Many people have seen this. You can look down on a rainbow scattering because the falls or some water scatters so beautifully at the right angle. The light must hit at the right angle for you to see that, you know, small phenomenon for a little time. Now there is no sky, there is no cloud. Next. Same. This is also how light scatters when the water, you know, falls. Like a fountain. And the last one, please zoom in. This is something I want us to keep it in our mind as we reflect, continue to reflect. I love this picture because of many reasons. Whatever I showed you so far, I have everything here. Grass, you have it. Tree, you have it. Sky, you have it. House of God, you have it. Also perfectly sealed, you know, within that rainbow horizon. But mountain, don't worry, you have it inside the house. The holy mountain of God. A fountain, you also have it inside the house. The never-ending, everlasting, living fountain of the Lord's word, his life. Water, don't worry, you have it. The living water from the bowels of his mercy. Oh, breathing air, don't worry, you have it. He is your life. One single picture that reminds everything, and there are sheep all around. Do you see? There are sheep, you know, eating the pasture. Sorry for the, can you sister zoom, maybe zoom in? The cattle on the grass, they are eating something. It happens to us, right? The Lord brings us to the house, equip us, strengthen us, comfort us. Then he says, are you ready? Yes, Lord. Can I go to bed? He will throw you in the midst of wolves. So you have to go and eat everything, witness about him, do exactly what he said, and run back to the shelter before the night cometh. Amen? Now, please close it. Just want to show some seven different pictures of rainbow. Now, this is the beautiful thing. Out of all seven I showed, how many are true? I can make all seven in AI that none of you can distinguish what is true and what is false. The world has gone to a stage which has no reset. Do you hear me? There is no reset from what's happening today. The truth and the lies can't be separated. The reality and vanity cannot be separated. Such a harlotry in terms of technology, in terms of people, in terms of government. It is happening everywhere. In the midst of all of this, what are we going to do? I mean, how are we going to overcome? Seven spirits before the throne. Let me surprise you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 45. Matthew chapter 12, verse 45. Please read, my brother.
Matthew 12, verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation.
What? Seven other spirits? There are so many spirits. The Lord says he went and brought his gangsters, seven other spirits. Book of Revelation says, oh, same, we also have seven spirits, but sorry, seven spirits of God. Oh, can't fight against these seven spirits of carnality. And Jesus says, that vessel that was possessed by an unclean spirit went and brought seven more spirits to make a scene. Now, this chapter is beautifully presented in two Gospels. One is Matthew and another one is Luke. Now, Brother Clement read Matthew 12:45. I will read from Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. There are many verses pertaining to this particular story, this particular lesson of what Jesus is doing in the midst of them, but I will read some selective verses. Luke 11, we will read from verse 23. Verse 23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. The Lord is speaking, right? Romans 8, 9, 1 Peter 1, all these chapters tell, without Spirit of Christ, we are not of God. Amen? He that do not know love is not of God. He that loveth not is not of God. Not the philia, agape. Now here, the Lord says, he that is not with me, in my spirit. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walked through the dry places, seeking rest and finding none. And he said, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Oh, return, like a second coming. And so looking for someone to intercede, as if God said, I look for a man to stand in the gap. I find none. But the unclean spirit says, I look for a vessel to host me. I find none. So I'm going back to my same house. With, there goeth he. Verse 25 says, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Verse 26, then goeth he and talketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. I mean, the last state was worse than the first. Now in this chapter, we continue to verse 31. Verse 31. All of a sudden, why the Lord brought the word queen? Verse 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation. Why? What is this queen of the south? King of the north, king of the south, we know. We heard from many books, prophetical books, Old Testament, New Testament. Lord says, queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord said this several times, greater than Jonas is here, greater than Solomon is here, greater than temple is here. He was not boasting, he was telling them the truth. That is what happening. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Lord is still speaking. He is revealing. Now, Matthew 12. Let's go back to Matthew 12. Luke 9, it actually details that incident, whereas Matthew, it presents it in a different sequence. Whatever I read now, it is actually before in Matthew 12. We have read verse 45, right? 45 says, Matthew 12, 45 says, "Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell in there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." This particular line, it is not in the Gospel of Luke, because it is detailed, explained before. Now in Matthew, verse 39. Why Jesus came to this state, that is in verse 39. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Why? Heart of the earth. He descended into Sheol, preached gospel to the souls in captive. He ascended into heaven. And God tells Noah, "I do set this vow as a covenant, token of covenant, from heaven and earth to remind me that I will be gracious and merciful to thee, to save thee, to give you my spirit, to put my spirit in you." Amen. Now he says, verse 41, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." In the book of Luke, you will see this coming after that verse. In Matthew, it is before. Now, verse 42. So we read from verse 44. The other verse is same. Verse 44. "Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished." The prodigal son also wanted to come to the house where he left, isn't it? He also wanted to go back to the house where he left. But the difference was, the house was beautifully prepared by the father who was waiting for the coming of his prodigal son. And he ran out of the house to meet the sheep outside the house to bring him inside the house. Why? The prodigal son will never ever be able to reach the house of God without the help of the Father in heaven. One more proof. Apostle Peter raised Tabitha. He says, "Tabitha, arise." She could only sit halfway through. The Bible says Apostle Peter had to stretch forth his arm and lift her up. Prodigal son repented. He came halfway through, but the father saw him far off. He ran to him, hugged him, kissed him in the neck. Why not on the hand? Why not on the cheek? Why? The prodigal son repented, humbled himself. It's a gift, a blessing from God Almighty. Because people of Israel were destroyed for stiff-necked attitude. Priest Eli died because stiff-necked attitude. And the prodigal son broke that stiffness, humbled himself. And the father kissed him on his neck. Now, if there are so many spirits, and there is spirit of Christ, if there are so many spirits, and there is seven spirits before his throne, if there is so much anointing, and there is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, what is happening? 1 John chapter 4, as we close in a few minutes. 1 John chapter 4. The Spirit of Christ that opens the door for the fellowship with your Creator. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit." What if I believe? Nothing will happen. You will just continue in the same way you continue until you hit the rock bottom of a road there has no continuation. The Lord says, beloved, believe not every spirit, because there is only one spirit. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Not few, many. And the Lord says, try. Why? He himself is trying us with furnace, like silver and gold, through fire, through water, to be sanctified by the blood in his spirit. He's trying us. Amen. He's testing us. Why? He is not going to put you in the spiritual realm, the heavenly kingdom, without testing. Lucifer fell because of God was very close to him. The Lord knows he won't do the mistake again. Was it a mistake? No. It is includes, it is excluding the iniquity from him. He fell. The angel of the light fell. And what the angel of the light is doing now? If I don't get it, no one should get it. Correct? Why? Jealousy, greediness, revengeful attitude is not the spirit of Christ. It is wickedness, which also posts itself as spirit. It is like the Bible says, the enemy will roam like a lion because he's a wolf, not a lion. Like a lion to devour the prey, but not a lion. Now, verse 2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, which is given to all of us through the resurrection power of glorified Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ. It says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But the problem is, people can read the words, utter the words with lips. That is not the meaning of this message. Your life as a living sacrifice must proclaim the death of Christ on Calvary without you boasting about it. And those who see you, they would want to understand, who is your Savior, man? I want to know him. From where you got this divine peace? From where you received this divine love, heavenly love? I want to test it. The Lord will work through you to test the soul. That is confession. Out of the mouth, the confession is made. Not the uttering of lips. It's a sound of your life. James 5:16 says, those who pray together, they heal together. Because they confess together. What is confession? Hey, last week I committed 7 sins, man. This week I'm better, 9 sins, you know. You know, there are in US, in Europe, in many countries, there is a cell group. They simply gather, they just talk about all the mistakes that they do, they feel good about it, they cry together, they laugh together, they feel good about it, and they feel that they are healing, but they will remain the same as who they were for decades and decades. Why? It is just a social gathering to vent out your frustration and feel respected, feel honored, because people clap for you. Awesome. You are a good man. God is not working in such a manner. The Spirit of Christ is Spirit of transformation, Spirit of redemption, Spirit of perfection, Spirit of, you know, making you and molding you to be like him. We are not the same. We are changing. It changes us. Now, the Lord warned us, and verse 3 says, and if every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. Hey, not of God, not of God, not of God. So many verses that we have read just now. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. If there is no Spirit of Christ, then God is not with you. Isn't it? If there is no love, then God is not with you. It's not a curse. The Lord says, be warned, be revived, be renewed. Do not dwell in the lack of understanding. Do not believe in what you believe. Break it. And let the bird fly out of the captivity. Now the Lord says, and this is the spirit of an antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. That is what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. Satan transformed himself as an angel of light, not angel of darkness. Now, as we close, may the Lord guide us. Let's all stand. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. We will continue as the Lord leads in his will. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. This is the last verse. May the Lord prepare our hearts Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. For everyone, because 1 John said, test every spirit. Don't show any partiality. Don't give any room for escape. Test every spirit. Jesus Christ tested John the Baptist. Don't you see? Why? He allowed John to go through a period of frustration, and he wanted John the Baptist to reveal his heart and express his frustration. And he said, is it you or someone who is coming? And the Lord said, it's good. Now I can cut off the branch. Pruned him. Then he took him. And he sent a word. Amen? Why? John was inviting Christ to come and see him. Jesus said, I will come. He came, but in the form of word. He sent a message to the messengers. Amen? It's a type of Jesus telling to all the bride, I go to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. For a while you will not see me. But the Spirit of truth shall come. He will witness about me to you. And he will make you as a witness. Hold on to the Spirit of truth. Hold on to the Holy Ghost until I come. And the Lord sent message to John the Baptist. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. What it means? Do not misunderstand the spiritual understanding of God Almighty. Because it is not knowledge, it is wisdom. Now let's read this. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So there is a skill. For he is a babe. Because a child cannot be skillful. It has to grow to be a skillful person. A man. Verse 14. But strong meat that belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to distinguish between good and evil. Do you know how people boast this verse? They say, we have seen all the doctrines, gone through so many sermons, so many books. We are eating strong meat with bones. We can digest. Still drinking milk? Don't worry. You will grow and eat meat like me. The meat can choke you to death, but the milk will never choke you to death. There is a process that God is molding his bride. He knows when to give you drink. He knows when to give you manna. Amen? He knows when to give you bread. He knows when to give you meat. But what he exactly sticks here? In the Last Supper, Jesus says, my body is your bread of life. Eat my flesh. Amen? This is the meat, right? This is the only flesh that we can eat. Then he said, drink into my spirit. You can't simply keep on eating meat. Why? You will choke to death. The spirit itself must bear witness with me to digest that meat for the body of Christ to be edified. May the Lord guide us. And let's all leave the congregation with a question. Do I have the Spirit of Christ with a beautiful rainbow of his attributes? Nothing is replaced. A violet cannot want to become red. A red should not say, I want to be orange. Orange should not say, I want to be green. Then the whole rainbow will look like something like artificial neon lights. It is what it is. You are what you are. You are beautiful, absolutely sufficient. The Lord is so wonderful in the way he made us. Amen. We are all beautiful in his sight. We are all uniquely positioned to perform something, to remain one another. He has set his covenant from heaven to earth. And that King of Kings will come to earth. Amen. May the Lord guide us. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord. The only light, the light of my Savior will lead me safely through the storm. Through all the trials, no matter how many wolves are coming, no matter how many vipers are trying, but Lord, we have the Lion of Judah in us. We have the Lamb of Sacrifice in us. We have the humility of Christ in us. We have the desire, the hunger, and the thirst of fellowship of God's family in us. And Lord, we pray, the same way seven spirits are before your throne, may you bless all of us to come and present ourselves, the bride of Christ, preserved, blameless, spotless, O Lord, as a beautiful bride, clothed in spirit by the word of God, to stand before thee with the beautiful attributes of Spirit of Christ. Because the bow covers your crown. The bowl covers your throne. The mind of God must be revealed to us for who we are to find the mind of God. May you be, O Lord, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Master, our Potter, our Healer, our Teacher. You chasten us, you encourage us, but Lord, we pray. Come to our life in a way that you want us to come. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.